From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm Doug Dangler. Neal Adams is acclaimed for many aspects of being a comic book illustrator. Foremost among them was his reinterpretation, along with Frank Miller, of Batman, turning it from an exercise in camp to the Dark Crusader, better known in the recent Christopher Nolan movies. He'll be in town with the Ohio Comic Con on September 20th, 21st, and 22nd, along with a host of comic book creators, celebrities, and vendors. I spoke to him recently about his work. Neal Adams, welcome to Craft.
It's delightful to be here.
We are looking forward to you coming to town to be with the Columbus Comic Con.
As I am. It's going to be delightful. You know, we've gotten into a time where, how can I best put it? The circus has come to town. Remember when you were a kid and a circus came to town and it was, you know, 2 hours and you're pretty much throwing up and then going home and then sharing your experiences the next day? This is a 3-day circus. Nobody throws up.
That's the best advertisement I've heard. Comic-Con, 3 days, nobody throws up.
Exactly. 3 days and nobody throws up. In fact, you get to do some of the things that you could never imagine doing in your whole lifetime. You get to meet people like Stan Lee. You get to meet William Shatner. You get to meet Neal Adams. Who is this Neal Adams guy? You get to convince your parents to let you get toys because it's practically your birthday. My goodness. Mm-hmm. Your father goes crazy and starts trading and buying comic books, which is the in for you to get other things because, you know, your dad is kind of nuts. And yep. you can work on that.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is I'm going to the Comic-Con with my daughter, and it hits right around her birthday. So this is, in fact, her birthday. And so she can, go crazy about things like The Walking Dead, and she's really into zombies. And I see on your website that you have a connection to zombies and a zombie Batman. So tell me a little bit about that.
I'm using the zombie as an analogy. Because zombies have become so popular, I did a drawing of a Batman zombie at one point to raise money for inner city kids to be able to go to art classes. And we sold it for like, I don't know, $350. And my wife said to me, honey, do a Batman zombie. I mean, we can make prints of this and then show it to people. This is a good idea. Anyway, when DC Comics presented this idea that they're going to do these black and white stories again, because they had done them years ago and they seemed to be pretty popular, I thought, Batman zombie, that's great. And of course, I'm not going to turn Batman into a zombie. I'm going to turn him into some helpless, shambling hulk of creature who cannot do anything. And so that is the theme of the story. So he goes through various circumstances that relate directly to problems that are around today. People who are homeless and have to live in their cars for periods of time. People who are having their houses foreclosed on by lawyers and sheriffs in towns where banks are not exactly those altruistic, wonderful things that we used to think they were, but are money-grubbing, awful creatures. We go into the idea that there are certain areas of the country where if you're a three-time loser, you can get thrown into jail for 15 years, even if you snatch a purse or steal a candy bar. And if you do things even worse, you can be put in jail for the rest of your life. This is a misuse of justice in America. And unfortunately, superheroes like Batman cannot do anything about it. They have to stand aside. And in our story, our superhero muscled Batman, essentially, in this story, turns into a zombie who shuffles on past the scene, helpless to do anything for the people involved. And so, in the real life, it's not the same as it is in comic books. It's something I think that we have to recognize, and we have to maybe, in comic books, be a little bit more responsible to and responsive to.
You have a background in making social commentary in comic books, and you had done so previously with the Green Lantern and Green Arrow pairing up.
It is true. I mean, it doesn't give me too many pages of comic books to write and to draw because I'll start saying things that sound a little too much like the truth. We do have a responsibility in our comic books. Some of us take that responsibility a little bit more seriously than others.
Well, I really appreciate your talking to me today, Neal Adams.
My pleasure. And I, for one, feel that if my comic book work is going into the front of the eyes of children, or even semi-adults and adults, I have a responsibility to be talking about things that are in the regular world and trying to be a positive force for things that perhaps aren't dealt with in a very positive way in our society. You know, we do have a responsibility to improve the world around us. Comic book conventions are an example of that because, you know, comic book creators are like those guys who grow up and want to be policemen all their lives. And if you ask them and scratch them just the right way, they'll say, actually, you know, I wanted to become a cop because I think I can do some good. There are a lot of people in the world that are like that. And a lot of those people become comic book artists and writers. So, you know, you're not sending your kids off to some juvenile delinquency institution or any place where, you know, negative things are going on. You're bringing your kids to one of the most positive things that include art, writing, creative expression, reading, the idea that children can read comic books long before kids, regular kids in school who may not read comic books can read. All these things are very, very positive things. It's for me, a wonderful thing to be in this business, and I think that I'm not giving back like it's a charity or anything. I mean, I think these kinds of stories are significant and fun, perhaps more fun to do than, you know, stopping bank robbers. After all, think about it. A bank, if a bank is robbed, how does it affect you? How does it affect the country or the community? We have the federal government insuring our banks so that if a bank gets robbed, nothing is missing. You don't have to worry about your paycheck on Friday. It practically affects no one. But if somebody has their house foreclosed by the bank and enforced by the sheriff, this is a very, very bad thing. If people are in jail illogically and unconscionably for periods of time that make no sense compared, like for, quote, nonviolent crimes, how does that make sense in our world? So, yeah, I do get a little serious about it now and then, but after all the rest of the time, I'm also doing comic books.
When you started talking there for a minute, I thought you were going to say that you had the idea of going in to stop the bank robbery. And I have to say, I'm pleased to hear that that wasn't where you went, because I was worried, Neil Adams, that you would be putting on a costume to go in and stop bank robberies. But you've got a very different thing in mind.
I don't mind if I'm trapped in an alley fighting my way out of it, and I've done it. But it's not a smart thing to do, and you could get killed.
Yeah,
I'm not a big in favor of that. I think that there's a lot of problems. You know, remember on television they had this thing where they showed all these films of cops chasing guys on cars, and they would drive into other cars and they'd do all this stuff. And suddenly the cops across the country realized, hey, this is bad. You know, you put cameras on these cop cars and you do these chases. What you're doing is causing more problems than you're solving. How about we just, you know, chase the car until the guy falls asleep or something, and then we'll get him because we have more cars than he has. And so let's not do this where people are endangered and cars are doing this. So the society has to learn the lesson that, yeah, it's fun, but excuse me, people can get killed. So cut it out. Mm-hmm. And back those cameras off, and back those cars off, and back those choppers off, and make sure that the citizens are safe while you're apprehending the bad guy. You have to sometimes go through these processes before you discover something that's fun for people is not necessarily fun for people, if you know what I mean.
This feeling of social justice that you're talking about in comic books, how did that develop over your career?
I grew up in a bad neighborhood. People mm-hmm. would pull guns on me all the time. I grew up in Coney Island and other places in Brooklyn where we had gangs roaming the street all the time, ripping aerials off of cars to beat the hell out of one another. And I had to face down some of these people. And one of the things that I learned was you do have to stand up to them. And at some point, you know, you discover that the confrontation needn't have happened in the first place if things were different. I live in New York, and in New York we have Harlem. And in Harlem, unemployment when I was growing up was about 35%. And we had difficulty with black people in black neighborhoods robbing people, okay? We had white kids robbing and Puerto Rican kids robbing. But in fact, if you put a measure on it, on 35% unemployment is going to condition people to rob. We went through a lot of processes in America. I had contributed to those processes by doing the first black superhero who's the Green Lantern that the kids see on the television show now, John Stewart. who probably should have been in that movie, that Green Lantern movie, mm-hmm. and created that character along with many, many good feeling black and white people in America to modify this whole process of segregation and jobs being kept from minorities and all the rest of that, to the point that there are no more dangerous neighborhoods. Yeah, there's, you know, dark neighborhoods, and there's places where, you know, there could be trouble, but we don't have those kinds of dangerous neighborhoods. I can go down to 125th Street in Harlem now with no problem with my family and walk around and shop and all the rest of it, because things have changed. Things have changed because people step up and they do something about it. There is some point in your lifetime where you go, you know, I have decided to be on the side of the good guys. And I think maybe it just happened a few years for me, a little younger than some folks.
Okay.
But in the end, isn't that your attitude?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good attitude. And I'm pleased to hear that, you know, you'll be talking about that at the Comic-Con.
Oh, I talk about everything. You just have to pull the string in the back of my head and I'll go.
Well, I really appreciate your talking to me today.
Well, let me just say this. If this gets any of your folks out there, the circus, my friends, has come to town.
Well, that can be our slogan.
Wonderful.
The circus has come to town, says Neil Adams.
And I'll see you there.
All right. And thank you very much.
My pleasure.
For more information about my guest, Neil Adams, visit www.craftheshow.com. Join me next time for singer-songwriter Vienna Tang. Until then, this is Doug Dangler. Be creative.